Hi everyone, and welcome back to Watcher. It's Mike
and Nath,
and we're talking all things pop culture. We do have a special guest this week. Marcel Marceau has come in, and Marcel, you're such a card. Jeez. It's a shame you can't hear what he's doing in here.
He's a mime.
Yeah, look, he's doing some great stuff.
He's loading a gun. I don't know what that's all about, but okay.
No, his walk against the wind is brilliant. And the fact that he did it using baked beans, I thought, was a nice touch. Very, wow. Very clever.
Wow.
But anyway, enough about Marcel, and we're not talking about the monkey. Tonight, we're talking all things pop culture, as per usual. And, Nath, shall we start off with some news?
Let's talk about Wonder Woman's new uniform.
I like it.
So this week, Wonder Woman, with the announcement of After Convergence, we've got the announcement of all the new comics which will be coming out for DC, and Wonder Woman is obviously one of the new ones, and she's got a new uniform. And the controversy, and it is controversial over it, is that she's actually got sleeves and pants. Oh, the humanity of it all.
Sleeves and pants.
Unlike Dean, really?
Am I?
Unlike Dean. But he doesn't wear sleeves or pants either. But, I digress. But it's really interesting because it hasn't really been, there's been sort of a fan argy-bargy, but it hasn't been anything like Gamergate or anything like that.
Mm.
It's actually been between the artists. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So Larson came out this week about it. He kind of said, it looks ridiculous. It's not that great. J. Scott Campbell came out and said that he's kind of disappointed in it because it's not really battle ready, having those big golden armor sharp shoulder pads, I think he was quoted on Twitter saying. is not really that fantastic. And then you've got someone like Kelly Sue DeConnick who's defending it. Becky Cloonan, who's defending it.
Mm.
So it's kind of a bit of a mixed bag with the actual artists who are having the backward and forward this time, rather than the fanboys, which is rather interesting.
Something different.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
No, I actually kind of like it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they kind of gave her the bike pants look.
Wasn't that Wonder Girl? With the stars down the side of the bike pants? Is that the one you're talking about?
Maybe it was. But, we're talking the major Wonder Woman, so we're talking major pants.
Well, this is true. If it was the bike pants, that was kind of an influence of 80s collar in my belt, wasn't it?
Ooh, yeah, that's right.
I can hear it now.
Anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. I like it. Once it's seen, it can't be unseen. And when I was told this, you'll understand what I mean, is that she has a loin sort of cloth going on sort of down underneath and past her belt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's kind of like a B section in the groinal area. Once you see it, it can't be unseen.
Right, okay.
So keep an eye out.
Okay. You heard it here first.
Yeah, well, you didn't really, but I'm sure it's
sure. You heard it here fourth.
Yeah, it's on the possibly. Interwebs anyway. Yeah. So, look forward to seeing that. And please send us a tweet or a let us know on Facebook. So
tell us what you think, Holmes.
Oh, okay. We're getting all street now. So maybe we'll move on to something that's a little bit street related.
Street
more
pants.
More rates. It's really expensive.
More rats too,
Mike. You must be excited about this one.
Yeah, I only found out about this yesterday as well. And, Kevin Smith basically honouring a dead friend of his who was a massive fan of the first one.
Mm.
And, the main reason behind it. And I think isn't the title that they've kind of put forward, kind of like a diehard?
It's the Ballad of
Brody?
Yeah, it's the Ballad of
the
Brody.
The Ballad of Brody Bruce.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
Yeah, the Ballad of Brody Bruce.
Good old Brody Bruce.
Yeah.
One of my favourite Kevin Smith characters of all time.
Yeah.
So,
and apparently he's got most of the actors on board to be part of it again.
Brilliant. So. Look, you know, I think, I mean, you kind of look back and maybe it is one of the weaker Kevin Smith films, but I dare say it is one I still get quite a few chuckles out of.
I would say Tusk is probably the weakest of the.
Oh, well, I haven't seen Tusk as yet.
I don't think you need to.
No?
Save your time.
Just tusk it away somewhere?
Yeah, just.
Under a Tuscan sun?
Well. Yes. So you're excited about that?
Yes,
how
definitely.
How long has it been since Mallrats?
Mallrats, I believe, was 1995. So right. We're talking 20 years ago.
20 years. Where did the time go?
It went away.
Memories.
Mm.
Like the corners of our minds.
Well, look, you know, I'd much rather a Mallrats 2 than a Tusk 2.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there is a Tusk 2, but it's more of a side story to the characters that are
well,
in Tusk.
Well, he's doing a trilogy, I believe. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not exactly Tusk related. It's more to do with the characters that were involved in Tusk.
Okay.
So, and they're on their knees or something. I think it's called Tuscanese. So.
Oh, God.
No one ever does that to you. Yours are a lot worse. Remember along, The Crow is getting a reboot. Which is rather interesting. And that should be, I believe that they start shooting shortly.
Poor choice of words.
Poor crow.
Sorry, that was in bad taste.
Yeah, crow's feet. So The Crow 2 is, well, it's not The Crow 2 because they've done.
If you forget about all the other sequels.
If you forget about them all, well, it's getting a reboot anyway. So I think the exciting thing about this is that.
Re-Crow.
And the good thing about it is for any fans of The Crow, Brandon Lee was a great Crow in the first film, which he unfortunately died on set.
Yes.
This one will be a lot closer to the graphic novels.
Okay.
Unlike the first one, which I think was kind of bits of adaption from all over the place. A little bit of executive producer, a little bit of comic, a little bit of, whatever, the writer decided to embellish a little bit. So I think this one's a lot closer to.
At least Ernie Hudson was in it.
Well, you know, I mean, he wasn't kicking any. Oh, yeah. Oh, Ernie Hudson, yes.
Yeah.
He wasn't kicking any ghosts, though.
In the words of Bobby Brown, he was on his own in that film. There were no other Ghostbusters present. Do they know who's going to be playing Crow in this film?
That's a good question that I'm not prepared for, so I'll have to edit this part out.
I think the only person I reckon could see in the role, but possibly too old for it now, will be Val Kilmer, and you can call him Velcro. And I think that'd be a great addition to the film.
Right.
Really sticks. Velcro!
It's actually Jack Houston. Now, Jack Houston is he is going to be Eric Draven, so it is the same character. Yep. Thank you.
Can you imagine if he doesn't get a scene right and you got the director going, cut, cut, Houston, we have a problem? No?
No. Really? No.
Call us in if you're loving these jokes, guys. Yeah. Just, Mel Marceau. I'll stop it. He's
doing his clown laugh.
Marcel Marceau. Why Mel? Oh, Mel. I think I got him mixed up with Mel Torme. How did I manage that one?
So that's the actor that's taking over the girlfriend or wife. The character, he will be Eric Draven. She is from Downton Abbey.
Okay.
Her name is Jessica
Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher. Wow. So
Murder
so
She Crowed.
Jessica Finlay. Murder She Crowed. So that's pretty exciting news for Crow fans.
Yeah,
get on that. So
that
should start shooting sort of later this year, and will be out next year for release.
Cool.
Last little bit of news that I just read today was that the Mad Max Fury Road will be getting an R rating in the US.
Oh, okay.
Which means that it's high level violence. which is it's an MPAA rating in the States.
I think that kind of film,
which is our rating in Australia. So yep, that's good.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that kind of film needs that kind of rating to be effective as a Mad Max film.
We don't need another hero. So
no, we don't.
We don't need Beyond Thunderdome.
No, we don't. Yeah. We do not need Beyond Thunderdome. We are so before Thunderdome. We're going to take a bit of a detour.
It'll be interesting to see how we go.
And avoid it.
And avoid it like the plague.
Yes.
And unless you've got anything, Mike, that's the news.
What I will do is I will mention the furor that has come out of Batgirl 41, the variant cover.
Yes.
Now
that's news.
Now, it is... I mean, look, I've got an example that I've shown Nate here, and you got the original cover where you've got Batgirl looking quite terrified.
It's good listening here. And showing me the cover.
Yes, I am. Thanks. I'm giving it. I mean, if you've looked it up, you would have seen the image.
We'll post it.
It will post it. And there's been an alternate image, which I don't know if that's been doctored just by someone on the internet, but you've got her kind of looking more angry, scowling towards the Joker. And people, I think, have found that might be a more acceptable image because it doesn't suit the tone of the book. Mm. Now, that I understand. I also understand where they're coming from because it is the 75th anniversary of Joker, and it's kind of an homage to his character. And Killing Joke would have been one of his darkest portrayals. Mm. I mean, what he does in that book is pretty much, I think, the worst that he's done in any kind of comic book. I mean, sure, he's peeled faces and all that kind of thing. But I think for its time...
Torturing Robin with a crowbar. And,
well, I mean, there was that too. Yeah. But, what he did to Barbara, then subsequently to Commissioner Gordon, to try and drive him insane, was a pretty full-on thing. And I think that people have been up in arms. For me, I think it's actually a great piece of artwork.
Mm.
And I think that he captured the Joker from then really well. And you can understand the terror in Barbara Gordon's eyes.
Mm.
Now, perhaps if you were to portray her as she was back then in the same style and not portray her as the Batgirl of now, maybe that would have caused less fury. And it's not to take away from the act that he did. That's not taking away from there at all. It's a despicable act in any case, whether it be comic, film, or real life, which is the worst. But as for the art itself, I think it looks incredible. Is that you really do get that feeling of terror, and that was the whole purpose of it. Now, people have said, you know, you can choose not to buy it and all that kind of thing. But we want to hear your opinions. We're gonna post the two images up on to watch up and get your opinion. You know, do you feel that the edited version was more acceptable, or just the whole topic itself? You know, this shouldn't be covered, especially with this current Batgirl.
Well, one of the other things too about this cover that was interesting, and it's one of the gripes that we've had on this show for a long time, and we've had many discussions about it, which is deceptive covers.
Yep.
Because this cover has nothing to do with the actual content of the book.
Anniversary.
Yeah. I'll be going for the Scotty Young version of this or the cherry pie version of this
one. Oh, God.
Can I put that one up with the other two?
Sure.
And you can make your choice, which one you would prefer. I'm going with the cherry pie version. I do like the cherry pie version. I think
it only works when you play Warrant in the background as well.
Yeah.
Although, maybe
there
not.
There it is there. Yeah.
Although, I don't know, maybe not. No. So...
Bye, hairband.
That is my two cents. I think as a piece of artwork, it is quite good. But I can understand people thinking that maybe it's too much for a cover. What are your thoughts?
Tell us.
And, you know, feel free to, when you listen to the podcast, just reply to the actual post that we do and, give us your thoughts on that. But that's it for news for me.
That's all the news.
Apart from the fact that I'm hearing a lot about Flash, and I've got to try and stop hearing about it and watch it, which means, hey, maybe we should jump into what you're watching.
Segway.
I've been practicing.
So have you watched anything?
No.
Nothing.
It has been just a hell of a week. So I've not had a chance to watch anything, but I've got great anticipation to watch a lot of stuff, especially Flash. That is my number one.
You should get some cream for that anticipation. You really should.
Oh, I really should. Yeah. I need to get a whole stack of that.
Pay persists and see a doctor.
Well, Flash is the one that I want to catch up on first, so I'm hoping I get a chance to this weekend. Followed by Arrow and then Gotham. Now, I also do need to get onto the Marvel shows because I keep hearing good things there too. But, yeah, give me time, people. I will get there. But, Nath, I'm sure you've watched something in my absence.
Yeah, I watched The Flash this week. It was amazing. Everybody died.
Yeah, I should have seen that one coming.
Died. All died. No spoilers. Everyone died, though.
Everyone died.
It was the end of the series, and you can't find it anywhere.
What
now.
Was that? Was it 17 that went up this week on the chip?
It was, and it's amazing. It's probably the best episode that I've seen today, because there was so much in it that you weren't expecting, and I think that's what was nice about it.
Well, Tom Cavanagh in the last week has been saying how there are twists and all that kind of thing.
15, not 17, 15. So we've still got 8 episodes to go.
How many is the season? Is it 22, 24?
22 to 23, I think it is.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, so we've still got quite a
bit. Honestly, for me, I think Flash has overtaken Arrow big time for me.
You want to hope so, because he's faster.
Well, okay, sure. I just got shafted. Boom! But,
wow.
No, look.
That was a double punch.
I think Flash has been fantastic, and I'm really glad it's been picked up for a second season, because I look forward to seeing what they can do with it, because... Mm. There's talk of time travel. There's talk of all kinds of things going on. So it just
my theory still stands as Flashpoint. Not that I'm giving anything away, because there's nothing to give away.
Yep.
But I'm hoping, fingers crossed, with my theory of Flashpoint, I would love.
Which I think would be great. I think it'd be great to see how they portray that.
So excited. Yeah. So excited. So yeah. So I watched Flash. I watched Arrow. The latest Arrow came out today as we record.
Yep.
Which was exceptionally good. We've dealt with all the death of Oliver, you know, everyone mourned, got over that, you know, now we're starting to get back into, you know, some serious business. There was a trailer that came out also today of recording, which was a highlights package of what to expect for both Flash and the Arrow the rest of the season. And, wow, there is some really some exciting stuff yet to come. Not a lot of spoilers, but... enough to get you to get the taste buds, you know, drooling a little bit, which is pretty cool. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season on both of those. And we don't have any. I'm pretty sure we don't have any hiatus now. I think they're done for both of those. I mean, yes. Flash was away for a month, and Arrow was.
It's unusual for it to have much of a break in between. When
I think they were just dragging it out.
Yeah.
I think that's more to the point. They were dragging it out.
Unlike Channel 9 here in Melbourne, which has dragged it out so far, they're about a season and a half behind.
Are they still showing it?
Oh, well Arrow, I think, is up to season 2 somewhere.
12:30 at night. After an infomercial of the bullet.
Oh, yeah. After the Nutribullet. Look at all those nutrients. How about an Arrow?
Yeah.
That'd be lovely. God damn it, Channel 9.
Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has come back after a little bit of a hiatus too, which was from
is Channel 7
week.
Still showing that at all?
I have no idea.
Channel 7. What is with our stations out here?
They're probably pushing it over to their
What'll happen?
Australian Netflix.
I know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to be like, you know, oh, Avengers is out. Oh, look, it's on TV, everybody. Yeah. Gee, aren't you glad we didn't show it earlier? Otherwise, we couldn't show it now and get higher ratings. I know how you work.
Yeah.
I know how you work. Don't try and put a fast one past Mike. I know what's going on.
Put the Flash on. That's a fast one.
You know what's great? Because it'd be like, you know, oh, look how it coincided. No, it didn't coincide with anything, because it's, you know, it should have finished now, not in, you know, the middle of the year.
Or next year.
Yeah.
There you go. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., very good. Really getting into the whole Inhumans topic now.
From what I hear.
Building on towards...
a better future.
Building towards that Avengers 2.
Yeah.
So you can see that they're building towards that. And so it'll be interesting to see
Not that Channel 7 will make it in time.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that's going to cross with each other, because they have been very, very good in picking up after Captain America Winter Soldier.
So that was great. That was done very well.
Yeah, when S.H.I.E.L.D. fell away and all that type of thing, and now we're sort of heading towards, Age of Ultron, which is not that far. It's only a couple of months away.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how we either work up to it or after it, because, I mean, by the time we get to that, we'll be pretty much finished the season.
Mm.
So after Age of Ultron will be obviously the new season.
See, and they wonder why Australians are the highest pirates. Arr, oh, yes, but sure. Don't you want a donut?
The only pirate we know of is the donut.
To a bad Irish accent.
The donut pirate. That's all we know about. But what I did watch this week was a great show. It's called iZombie.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, now iZombie is a series. It's actually it was a comic book series which has turned into a graphic novel series. It's really quite an interesting show. What I liked about I'm not going to sort of talk too much about the comic at all. I mean, it's a Vertigo comic. It's done by Chris Robertson and Michael Alred. They did a very good job. The interesting thing that I found with the comic as opposed to the actual with the actual TV series is that they've made some quite big changes. So the person's name has changed. In the graphic novel, she has a friend who's a ghost. There is some noticeable changes in the actual between the graphic novel and I mean obviously that's concerned fans.
Yep.
I know specifically that Kaz from Nerdburger, she had voiced a concern on her show.
Yep.
But the nice thing about it is it's got Rose McClever and Rose McClever was actually from the series before she got the gig for this. She was in Once Upon a Time, and before that, she was in Last Man Standing with not Tim the Toolman Taylor. What am I saying? Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Anyway,
Wilson Behind the Fence.
Yeah, no, she wasn't Wilson Behind the Fence. It was Last Man Standing. Anyway, she was the. The eldest daughter, she got this gig, she left the show after the first season. And then after the first season, it just wasn't the same because she just seemed to have a really good presence about it. And the great thing is that she's carried that presence with her in iZombie. So what iZombie is about is about a medical student. She's actually not a medical student. She's actually a doctor. She goes on a cruise just for the night. It's like a booze cruise type thing.
Yeah.
And people take this drug and it turns them into zombies.
Right.
And by accident she gets scratched and wakes up the next day and she's become a zombie. So she's got a hankering for brains. She's got white hair and, funny colored eyes and white skin and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, she just looks like she's really anemic. That's probably the best way to describe it.
Are we talking the typical kind of zombie where they're just going, brains?
She's
still all there.
She's got a resting heart rate. The only time that she ever gets like that is when she's like, extremely angry. Or she hasn't eaten for a period of time, so she's got this.
She only eat brains?
She eats other things,
right?
But she has to have. I think she calls it the 6 chili rating. So if it's got to be really, really hot, so she might have noodles, but she's got to have this massive, you know, hot tobacco sauce that goes along with it. When she eats brains, she stopped being a doctor, obviously, after she became the zombie, and she now works in the morgue as an assistant, ME. She eats the brains, and she, you know, because it's a good way of covering up because she's in the morgue, and she has visions of the person that she's eating the brains from.
Oh, okay.
And so what happens is this is where
it's kind of like Chew.
It is very much like Chew.
Right. Okay.
And the great thing about this is that I like about this is that this is where it changes and it becomes more like Veronica Mars.
Solving crimes of the dead person?
Solving crimes of the dead person.
I see where they're going.
So we've got... wrong one.
The tasty brain of Angela Lansbury.
She's still alive.
Oh.
That's really cool.
Murder, she ate.
So the actual show is written and created by Rob Thomas. Rob Thomas did Veronica Mars.
Yes,
so you can see the parallels.
Not from Matchbox 20.
No, he's not crazy. He's just a little unwell.
Oh, fair enough.
So he's created, and if you know that, then you can definitely see elements of Veronica Mars. And I love Veronica Mars. It was a
great series, yeah.
Such a fun series.
Did you see the film I brought out?
Yes.
I haven't.
From the Kickstarter. That yeah, it was fantastic. Good? Yeah,
huh.
Good fun. This is iZombie. It's only the first episode, but I kind of dig it. And if it keeps this momentum, they don't change too many characters and they keep along the same storyline, then I'm okay with it. I like the book. I love the graphic novel. It's great. You know, it's nice and it's original. And lots of, you know, sort of odes to other, you know, zombies and vampires and, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Those types of lore, with a slightly different spin, but it's different from the comics. So if you can separate the two, then you'll thoroughly enjoy it.
Okay. Nice.
Highly recommend. And so that's it for me for what you're watching.
All right, beautiful. Well, I suppose, you know, we're talking comics already, so let's officially jump into it with What You're Reading.
Woo! I'm going to try something that's a little bit different this week.
Oh, hello.
I'm trying to read different comics that are not always mainstream.
What is that like?
It can be challenging. It can definitely be challenging because sometimes they're not great. But sometimes, you know, I have a tendency to prattle on. So this week, what I'm going to try and do is give a review of two books that I read.
Right.
In 20 characters or less.
20 characters or less?
No, not 20, 200.
Right. Yep. Yeah, this is kind of Twitter-ish.
20 characters or less would be, it was good. That's a mic review.
So, I love the cover.
So 200 characters or less. So,
all right.
Here it goes. Okay, so first book is Chrononauts.
Yep.
So Chrononauts is from Image, and it's an odd couple who invent time travel and prepare to do time jump for the first time, but something goes wrong. The writing from Miller is fun, and the art from Murphy is great. So that's Chrononauts.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
There we go.
Pretty good.
Nice work.
We can develop on that in just a sec after I've given my 200.
Sure.
Okay. The next one that I read was Invisible Republic, which is also from Image and is out this week. And it's a space opera set in deep space colonized moon called Avalon. And the story follows Kroger down on his luck journalist looking for a good story in 2843. And by chance, he stumbles onto a story about Mayer. I think his name's Mayer. The cousin of the current former dictator. The present is very bleak, and the past is bright. From Bechko, who's writing it, to Harden, who is doing the artwork on it.
Okay.
And so both of those are really good. Both of them are from Image. Both of them are out this week. and you know, very different ends of the scale on what you can expect. But Chrononauts was just so much fun, ridiculous fun.
Out of five knots?
Five knots, I'd probably give it probably, I love the first book. I'd give it five.
Five out of five.
I loved it.
All right. No knots at all.
No knots at all on that one. Invisible Public is going to, it's going to be a slow burn. I can see that it's going to be a slow burn. But it is good. It's a good read. It really is a good read. And you can, like I said, it's a space opera, and it really feels like that it's going to be along that line. You're going to be following these stories of these characters and where it's going and why there was the fall of this, this great leader, apparently, and all that sort of thing. So we're going to get into the nitty gritty, but for a first issue, it's definitely inviting. That's for sure.
Okay, nice.
And the last book that I read that I didn't get to last week when we did the show was Bill and Ted's.
Oh, Triumphant Return, is it?
Triumphant.
Now, I've heard mixed reviews about this. I've heard mixed people reviews? Have said, they're kind of saying, it's a bit of a fun recap on what they've done and where they're going, but could they see it continuing on from this? Now, what are your thoughts?
I actually really, really, really enjoyed it. I liked where it went. It is a triumphant return. I mean, it's kicking off right after number two.
Mm.
It's really, really fun. I mean,
the
introduction is a little tape deck, which actually has the Wild Stallions. It's their first song from 1991. So it's actually starting right from 1991. Mm. And continuing the story.
Now, as we saw them at the end of the second film, they were beardos.
Yes, they are, and they continue to be beardos.
Ah, right on.
That does go.
Oh, they do get rid of the beards.
They get rid of the beards, but they are.
You want classic look, Bill and Ted.
You do really want classic. You want classic Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
You don't want, what's the other one? I suppose normal Bill and beardo Bill.
Beardo Bill and Ted.
Beardo Bill. We've got Robo Bill and Ted.
We do have Robo. Are they still around?
They are still around.
Station?
Station. Where everything's there. So the writing
the station's butt still there.
From Brian Lynch is great, because what I found is all I could hear were the voices
that's a good sign.
When I was reading it. And so I really enjoyed it. Fellow watcher Shorey, we were talking about this on Twitter today, and he said it was non-heinous. That's what he said. It was non-heinous.
I'm going to catch up with Shorey as well.
Which is great.
Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Yep. Shorey's heading overseas, correct?
He is. He's got about a month to go, and we'll probably hear all about that when he comes back.
Awesome.
He's hitting a few cons and a couple of other places in the US, which will be really exciting. The great thing about this, too, is that it's done. The artwork's done by Jerry Gaylord. Now, Jerry Gaylord, we've talked about on the show before in the Aussie special when he did XTC.
Oh, right. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So Jerry Gaylord is also known as the franchise in some of other areas on the web. And I've got a lot of time for Jerry because I got before that he sort of hit the big time, he was just doing commissions, and I got a commission of Firestorm that I absolutely love. It's one of my prized possessions.
Mm.
So when I heard that he was going to be doing Bill and Ted's Triumphant Return, I was rapt.
Mm.
So with this, I absolutely love it. You know, he captures the characters really, really well. It reminds me, it's kind of in that fashion of, the Ghostbusters comic book series where, you really, they capture the essence of the character in a different style. But you know exactly who they are, which is great. It's all the usual suspects of Station and Death, Robo, Bill and Ted, the princesses, Bill and Ted, obviously.
Rufus
is in there. It's a nice ode to having Rufus around still.
Yeah, definitely.
Great, super fun, Don't expect too much from it. It carries on from the second Bill and Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Get it if you want to enjoy a book.
All right, sounds like a plan. I might have to pick that one up.
Yep, absolutely. And that's it for me.
All right, groovy. Well, for me, I've got a few that I managed to read last week. I haven't had a chance to get to the comic store this week, so I am a little behind. But let me give you my viewpoints on the following three. Detective Comics Endgame, where we're seeing Anarchy is making an appearance.
Is it the end? End of the game?
It is not the end of the game. Okay. It's deceptive. It's the continuation of the game.
Okay.
But we get to see Lonnie. He doesn't actually, you know, call himself Anarchy at any point during this book.
Right.
He's known as, I think it's Money Spider, who was like the hacker. So, which happened, you know, prior to the 52.
Yeah.
So they're giving all these little, you know, Easter eggs and stuff, I suppose. So basically the story is, he's teaming up with these other kids who I think are going to be part of the We Are Robin crew.
Oh.
And he's just trying to get to his mum and try and save her.
Right.
So that's the whole idea. Artwork's not too bad. Story's okay. I like to see Anarchy kind of take more of a role and see what happens. I mean, the Convergence, I don't know what's happening after that. So yeah, we'll just have to see. I mean, I love Anarchy when he was originally brought into it by Bray Fogle and Grant.
Yep.
Great stories. The next one.
Will he be called Anarchy the Money Spider?
I don't believe that'd be a good
Robbins
idea.
Do you think you'll be in Robbins? We are Robbins.
I don't know. I don't know if he'll make an appearance. I mean, it makes sense. I'd like it if, because I think he was a good foil for Tim Drake, and then at the end they were kind of working together before New 52, and they're quite good at, and they do match wits quite a bit. So I guess we'll have to see what happens there.
The cover's great.
Yeah, no, really nice cover. And it does make sense to the actual story as well as to why that cover's there.
Not a deceptive
other, cover.
Other than the word Endgame. Because it's not the end of the game.
It's not the end of the game.
No.
Apologies there to our listeners. So, the next one I've got, Injustice, Gods Among Us, Year 3, Issue 11. All right, I'm going to lay it down. Issue 12 is coming out. I think it's come out this week, actually. And Year 4 is upon us. I'm over it. I am really over it.
Are you
going
to drop it?
Well, I don't, I don't know yet. But I'm kind of like, does this actually have an end? Because I find this story's gone on for quite a while. I'm ready for an ending.
It's gone on for infinite.
So whether it ends of year four, I don't know. But I hope an end is coming because, I don't know, Mixelplick and the demon, who I can't even remember his name anymore at this point. But they're still fighting in the background for the entire... Oh, Trigon.
Trigon, the rhyming demon.
Yeah, so right. they're like fighting in the background for the last two issues. I'm like, really? So
two issues,
but they come out of a daze, and all of a sudden it's like Superman and Batman can talk again. It's like, I don't just want to fight you. So there could be something else going on, whether being part of Mixelplex's game is to, you know, keep them fighting no matter what. But I really hope an ending comes from that long soon because I am kind of getting over it. Green Lantern Corps.
You're not going to drop it, are you? You're not going to drop it.
I don't know yet.
Oh.
If year four is going to be the final thing, then, you know, but I don't know. Maybe I should drop it at issue 12 or 3 of year 3. Maybe I should drop it.
Is that when it finishes at 12?
And then year 4 will start. Maybe I should drop it at the end of year 3. I should give my opinion to DC and say, you know what? No more years.
Yes.
3 is the last year. I'm going to do it.
Hey, put it in writing.
I'll put it in writing. I will write to Classic and say, all right, guys.
Dear DC.
Dropping Injustice
you
at 12.
Not. You say you are not.
I will do it.
You heard it first.
Yeah. Green Lantern Corps, number 40. A little bit of background to John Stewart and to the reason why the planet, was it Zanshi, was blown up and how it blew up. And you're finding out that the people causing the darkness are trying to threaten another planet. And he finds the way to, you know, to fix it is to, you know, use his love powers.
His love powers,
because he still has part of the...
Tainted love.
He's still got part of the... was Sapphire in him. Yeah. So he brought that power out. And apparently all you need is love. And that can destroy any bombs.
Wow.
So they're my three for this week. Look, nothing really stood out. I think for me, the Detective Endgame was the one that stood out. My current titles of choice are Batman, because I just love the artwork in it, and I look forward to seeing how Endgame will actually end, because right now it still has to end.
And then we have Convergence.
BatBot.
So
we'll
see how we go with that.
Yeah, so that is it from me in the land of reading. Now, any plugging? Any Watcher plugging?
Before that, I wanted to talk about a comic that we will be getting, both of us will be getting.
Really?
When it's, you know, how can you not? It's Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Get Real.
Oh, you showed me this. Yes, I saw this.
Yes, Ghostbusters Get Real. It's only one of four. It's only, you know, four in the series. But it's where the Ghostbusters meet the real Ghostbusters. So our comic book Ghostbusters meet the cartoon real Ghostbusters.
Egon with the blonde hair and the red glasses.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely.
So that comes out in June. So that's not really that far away.
No, it's not.
Yeah, only four issues. I'm a bit upset about that.
Well, look, you never know what could come from that.
Yeah, but the great thing is that Dan Shewing's doing the art for it.
Which he does great stuff.
Yeah, and you know, Eric Berman's doing the writing for it.
It's the model for the board game as well. Gotta love that. See, it's all there.
Everyone's getting excited about that. Well, Mike and I are anyway.
So. And Nick's getting on that,
yeah. And you'll hear Nick next week. He's going to be on the show. So.
Correct. He'll be back next week for more Watcher funning.
Back by popular demand.
Yes, he was popular by his own hand.
Yeah.
We love you, Nick. We're going to get you back on.
I don't know where that's going.
No, that kind of meant, you know, he it was popular because he loved being on the show.
Right, okay.
And it's just popular.
Sure. Great.
Popular.
Moving right along.
Yeah, moving right along. Well, Watcher plugging. Now, you may see there's a little bit of stuff going up at the moment for Geek Street. 42 Geek Street is back for 2015. It will be back on the air on Channel 31 in early June, so keep an eye out for that. We're pretty much filming all around Melbourne and Geelong, getting a few bits and pieces. And this guy here, Nath, he has joined the team.
Nathan Hasselhoff will be on.
Yes. He'll be hassle-free and coming up to your tree.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Nathan Hasselhoff. Nathan Hasselhoff on the shop,
hard hitting street talk, I believe.
Baywatch and Nath will be. So yeah, look out for that.
Keep an eye out for that. You lots may see him around.
Lots of fun.
Keep an eye out for that. Check out the 42 Geek Street Facebook page and like it and follow what we're doing. We're putting up all kinds of pictures and photos as we're going through and recording for the new season. So check it out, and hopefully you will enjoy.
Another one we're going to plug for this week is Pizza Man. So
yeah.
Damien Shanahan has taken Pizza Man out of retirement and is reheating him in
all its cheesy glory.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a Kickstarter campaign, which is going on at the moment. For those of you who don't know who Pizza Man is, it was a very early 90s character, probably one of the first comic book characters for Australia.
I remember getting an issue of that when I first started going to classic comics. Yep. It would have been early 90s. So, yep. Yeah.
So, it all started in the anthology.
Mm.
And then from there, he decided to branch out and have the character a solo book for him.
Yep.
And so now it's after probably about, you know, sort of 8 years, he's now brought it back, and it's on Kickstarter and it's ready to go. All the artwork's done.
Yep. We've
got, you know, incentives for those who are pledging, etc. And it's real good. It looks fantastic.
So. See, it's great seeing this stuff coming out too, because, I mean, Damien's been around for ages.
Yep.
You've got the guys behind Platinum Grit. I used to love their stuff in the early 90s as well. And it's very lucky. I mean, Phil Barlow, who I did a course with a couple of years ago now, but he actually gave me a few issues that I was missing of Platinum Grit, which was awesome because they were hard to find. I got some of the earlier ones, and I think I've got a couple missing in between. But he had a few of those lying around, and was good enough to give me a few of those. So I'd love to see more Platinum Grit. So to Trudy and the guys, come on.
Get on it.
Bring it back.
Get on the good.
I did actually was online for quite a bit too, and she's doing another strip which escapes me at the moment, but it's actually rather risque would be the word.
Risque.
Yes.
Ooh la la.
Quite sexual.
Marcel Marceau is like.
He just put his hand over his mouth.
He's pulling his collar as well. So
it's amazing how he gets that steam to come out. Yeah. It's only as mime can do. But anything else to plug?
We've also got DC versus Marvel, Art Boy versus Fanboy, yes. Art Boy Gallery, which starts tomorrow night. So for everybody listening, this starts on the 20th.
Of December.
Of
December?
No.
20th of that's March.
That's the screening of Arrow on Channel 9. So.
Yes, season 2.
Yes.
Premiere.
Yeah. That'll be the 20th of March, and that goes right through till the 29th. Mike, Art Boy versus Fanboy, what's that all about usually?
Art Boy versus Fanboy is basically artists getting an open invite to basically come in and put their art into the shows. So there's usually a theme set, in this case DC versus Marvel, and it's just basically, get your art shown, get it on the walls. I've done it a couple of times.
Yep.
I was really hoping to get a piece in this time, but just it's been a crazy start of year. So
you can put your Batman back in again.
Well, he's not versus anyone.
Right. Well, he could be versing. You know what he could be versing? Could be versing Moon Knight, but Moon Knight's run away.
He can't find Moon Knight. Or Marcel Marceau, but he's not Marvel.
He's not Marvel.
He's Marcel, not Marvel.
And he's smart, and he's smart. Whatever.
Marvel Marceau?
Yeah.
Marvel Marmo?
No, keep going. So Art Boy versus Fanboy, we've got a strong affiliation with those guys. And good for them. This is a really good one, and there's a lot of great art. Some of the art that I've seen, Striffle's got some there. We've got Secure D. So he's got some artwork. There's so many. I'm trying to think. There's so many that I just can't rattle them off the top of my head. But it's going to be an amazing show. So if you're in Melbourne, definitely
get on down there
and have a look.
This is where you're getting on the ground floor of some new upcoming artists around Melbourne and around the country and even international. So get in on that and enjoy.
Oh, and also Ryan Hall will be.
Beautiful.
He's got some work in there as well. So there you go. Representing the UK.
Right on.
Last thing we want to plug is obviously Supernova. Supernova's coming up in Melbourne. That will be April the 10th through the 12th.
After Easter.
At the Melbourne Showgrounds. A week after that, we've got Gold Coast, which is April 17 to 19. Which is pretty exciting stuff. We'll definitely be there at the show. We're pretty excited to be there.
Look out for us. We'll be walking around.
We will be wearing our Watcher t-shirts.
Correct.
Dean, most likely, will be wearing something really extravagant cosplaying.
Yes, I would say so.
Tradition. There's some great guests that they've got at Supernova this year. Christopher Lloyd, Dolph Lundgren is going to be there. Who else have we got? Ryan Lord Taylor, who plays the Penguin in Gotham.
Yep.
We've got the list goes on and on. We've got the Green Ranger, which is Jason David Frank. Manu Bennett, which is from Arrow.
Oh, of course, not from My Kitchen Rules.
No,
that's the other Manu.
We got George Takei, James Masterson, Charisma Carpenter. Those are obviously some of them. Next week I'll have some more, and we might actually talk about once again surviving con, how to survive a con, and the best way to do that. So definitely if you're in Melbourne, come find us. If you're in the other states, then probably we won't be there. There's a chance that you might see us in Sydney, which is in June the 19th to the 21st. So that's pretty exciting. There's a lot of the Firefly crew that will be up in Sydney. Mike and I might be making a road trip. First time Mike's heard about it, but
this is the first I've heard about it.
So get excited, folks. That's it for Watcher plugging.
Awesome, man. One last plug, No Man's Band, maybe back in April. Keep an eye out for that. I'm getting on it.
From FEC, which is exciting.
Yes. See, Nate?
Not the No Man's Band part.
Aww.
Just the,
it's all right. Steve, we're going to get it back on track.
Just FEC, because we like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not No Man's Bland. The drawing, anyway.
That's another show.
I like the writing.
End of the show, guys.
I read it for the article.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, Nathan and Marcel. And we look forward to seeing you all and have you all back for episode number 97 next week. So who knows who'll be on, Nick. I've given away the secret. But, yeah, so if it's what's your...
Miming.
Yeah, miming's good. I like that.
Yeah.
What's your...
Timing.
Timing, yeah. Timing's also
Chrononauts.
Good.
Chrononauts.
Chrononauts, yeah.
Timing.
Or watch
Rhyming.
Yeah, okay. We want to hear about it.
Thanks very much.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, he's waving. I can feel it. Hang on.